fear and anxiety, confusion and loss, grief and despair. Take these three sets of emotions and hold on to them for a moment, if you will. Our gospel narrative for today picks up immediately where the resurrection story left off. Two women go to the tomb of Jesus to visit him, and they find that he is not there. And then they have a vision of angels who tell them that Jesus has risen from the dead. In other words, Jesus has disappeared, and we only have the word of women and angels to go on to say that Jesus has risen. What a bunch of baloney. Who is going to believe these women? We get to pick up on two of Jesus' followers and the conversation they're having about all of the gossip and rumors of the missing Jesus. The followers of Jesus are joined by a stranger in their commiserating, and they are incredulous that the stranger has not heard about the missing Jesus. The followers of Jesus express how they feel to the stranger by exclaiming all of the events that had happened in the past few days. And they expressed that they had lost hope because they thought Jesus was their Messiah. The followers of Jesus expressed this fear and anxiety, confusion and loss and grief and despair. This mighty prophet was defeated by the political and religious leaders. He was supposed to raise up Israel. And now it has been 3 days and he has disappeared. We have heard this incredible story about his being alive, but there is no way that can be true. We saw for ourselves that he is missing, but surely there can be no explanation. Fear and anxiety. I have a website that I read daily. I can't tell you the name of it because I can't say it from the pulpit, but you can ask me later. But it's a daily compiling of all of the major news headlines for that day. It's a way of staying informed when you can't know which media source is giving you the real story. And as I'm reading headline after headline, I have these feelings of fear and anxiety because the violence and destruction in this world is so real and raises these feelings inside of me. I find myself frozen because I don't know how to react. I don't know how to act. The only response I have is fear and anxiety. And my question becomes, what can I do now? Confusion and loss. I've been walking through life with a friend who lost his dad very suddenly last year. And I can't put myself in his body to know what that feels like, but he and I have done some work around what that was like for him. He describes it as this frozen in place, pit in your stomach response. And he said, after a moment in his head, he said, no, 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 no. And then there is no way that that could have happened. And then he reverts to anger. There is no reason that this had to happen. So not only is there a hole and a tremendous loss in his life, but there is also no answers to offer comfort in the face of this loss. It is a loss confounded by confusion. Why? Grief and despair. When I was in high school, I was a bit of a choir geek. It's where I found my belonging. It's where all my friends were. It was my favorite part of the day. So I took every opportunity to be in as much choir as I could. So when they created an advanced women's choir, my friends and I decided we all had to audition. We all had to join. Well, as it turns out, I didn't make it. And I had to be in regular choir while all of my friends got to be in this advanced group that did extra concerts and extra trips and extra events. I felt so incredibly left out. I also felt crushed and defeated. My entire identity was wrapped up in being a part of that group, and I had to grieve that I could not be. I had lost all of my hope. If I could not have that, then what do I have? These are the moments that I find us meeting where the disciples are on this day. And I bet they asked some very similar questions. What do we do now? Why? If we can't have Jesus, what do we have? They are experiencing fear and anxiety because they don't know what this means for them or for other followers of Jesus. Who will save them now? and they are experiencing loss and confusion because a good friend of theirs died a violent and horrific death that just doesn't seem just. But they are also experiencing grief and despair because they thought Jesus was the Messiah, and now they have to grieve their salvation. This is a grim place to be. But then these followers encounter the risen and embodied Jesus. Jesus comes to them, joins them in their going to Emmaus, and experiences this threefold grief with them. And Jesus says, look, you are right to be upset, but there is so much more going on here than you realize. And he begins to share scripture with them and reveals to them that this was the plan all along. This was the plan that fulfilled all that they had hoped for, even though it was a different way than they expected. And then Jesus is about to leave, and they ask him to stay, and he agrees. And they break bread together. Jesus gives them the comfort in their threefold grief. He reveals answers. He unveils pieces of the plan. He gives them his presence. He literally gives them himself. This is when they know that they are with Jesus. This is a powerful example of how we could be with one another in our fear and grief, confusion and loss, and grief and despair. The ultimate plan of salvation was never better understood by anyone than it was by these two in this moment. Jesus is best known in the breaking of bread, and comfort is best given in the presence of Jesus. Then the disciples were excited and ran to tell the story that they had heard. They knew the truth about Jesus' resurrection, and ultimately they could bring meaning to God's plan for salvation. They could bring comfort. Jesus is alive, and Jesus is their Savior. If you ask them where Jesus is, they would say, Jesus is in our midst, alive and among us. As Easter people, where would we say that Jesus is? Do we find comfort in the embodied presence of Jesus in the answers that we have about the resurrection? Do we find hope in the truth of the resurrection amidst our uncertainty? Do we remember that there is always more going on than we realize? And do we know, like these followers of Jesus on their way to Emmaus, the meaning of Jesus' time on earth? Do we embody Jesus in the way that we are with people? What about when we are with ourselves? Do we recall the resurrection truth? Have we had an embodied encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ? So when I read news headlines that send shockwaves through my body, I can respond with, come, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us, because I know that one day Jesus will come again to make all things new. And that revives a sense of bravery in me. And when my friend asks God, why? God offers the truth that his Father is now united with Christ and that the ultimate passage for a believer is to be like Christ. And that revives a sense of hope. As a young teen, I had to learn that I did not need to lose all hope in who I was as a person because my ultimate identity was with Christ. I was whole because I belonged to Christ. And that revives a sense of purpose in me. The encounter with Jesus on the road to Emmaus reveals the uniqueness of God's plan for humanity. As Easter people, we know that we do not yet have all of the answers. It also reminds us, though, that Jesus is our comfort in that uncertainty. Jesus comes alongside of us no matter what our grief looks like and stays with us. The answer to where is Jesus is very much still in our midst, alive and among us. That should offer us a great comfort and a great charge to move forward. Amen.